Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha of SashaTalks.com. It has been quite a while that I've been away from the airwaves at BBS Radio, and I'm glad to be back. So, this is going to be treated as a hello and welcome back to the audience. For those that have followed Sasha Talks in the past, thank you very much. And for those who are new out there listening, I welcome you to take a sneak peek into what I do, who I am, and I'll do a brief recap of the type of work that I focus on, and then we're going to topically look into a topic that sets the tone for the next few months on Sasha Talks and its affiliate projects, which means that no matter who you are, where you are, what corner of the world that you're tuning in from, if you're looking for opportunities to become better in leveling up in your personal life, in your social life, whether it is about taking on a professional skill set, you want to go out and work on a small goal or a big goal in life, there might be some messages that resonate with you to be inspired, to be directed, or maybe you might be guiding the rest of us. Keep in mind that all content that I share adheres to the disclaimers of Sasha Talks, SashaTalks.com. Getting started, I thought to go to the Sasha Talks page and give you a brief overview of what I do because a lot has evolved as I've integrated more parts of my life to share with people. But there is content that focuses on self-development, the spiritual development, and the spiritual counseling I still do to this day. I do it a few to several times a week. I do it only by appointment. So if you are a new client, you are welcome to reach out to inquire if I am willing to be of service. I do not take on every case. I am very upfront about whom I could help and to what degree. If I cannot work with you, it probably is because what you are seeking falls outside of my ability. And I do not pretend to be one size fits all. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. It is very important to me that you seek out the right personality, the person who has the speaking style and the energy and the professional chemistry that could help you. And I am willing to help those that are willing to help themselves. Now, if you go on the Sasha Talks webpage, just a quick overview for those who are new. A lot of the work that I do, I come from a business background. So in the recent years, I've been zoning in significantly more, working among certain types of personnel in the formal environments, whether they come from corporate, in the field. I do work with individuals, groups of people, and at times I do cater to organizations that seek me out through Sasha Talks specifically. You're welcome to take a look at the site map. There are many speaking engagements that I take on. In the recent years, I do a lot of in-person speaking. I just completed a speaking tour. I do want to thank the Magnus Group for sponsoring me. It was an 18-city tour, and I successfully completed it. It was a lot of learning that I did. If you are curious about the topics that I do cover, you could go to the speaker portion, and there are rolling credits that let you know the topics that I have covered. And those are not just the sample topics of I'll try and give a talk on it. I am well-versed professionally with a proven performance record to speak on those topics from my own personal professional experience. And anybody could claim they have experience, but I have paid professional experience and people don't pay you unless you're going to deliver. Even though there are no guarantees in life, I do take pride in the work that I do. And when people seek me out, I don't take that lightly. For those who have messages to share, whether you are a business executive, a leader, you are a good Samaritan in society, you're going out there doing social work, you are a writer, whatever your profession may be, or you may not even have a title. I think sometimes it's very powerful to not have a title and go out there and just lead by example if you want to share your message. And then there is another genre that branches out. It is dedicated for people who love to write, writers, authors. It could be any genre of writing. Keep in mind that the Sasha Talks platform does adhere to family-friendly guidelines and community guidelines that I do enforce. I don't believe in coming up with certain rules and then not enforcing them. The one thing that I do not welcome is it cannot be anything propaganda. It has to be educational. And it could be educational and entertainment because the Sasha Talks platform has always been about, most people thought it was only entertainment, but they had no idea that I will not let the entertainment part exist unless there's educational content that gets paired up with it. Because if my audience members are not growing, or they're not learning anything. And whether you learn or not is your choice, but there has to be something of value that you can walk away. And if it's not something of interest to you, that's perfectly fine. So if you are a book nerd, there is a Sasha Talk section where I host authors by Sasha, and there are historical articles and new ones coming out where I engage in conversation with actual authors who have promoted their work. So just an overview, I do engage in the business services. It is on one-on-one basis. I focus more on consulting, where I am being trusted to deliver solutions and working with people to deliver solutions. And then I do the counseling part. That is this intuitive spiritual counseling that I do. I do that at a minimum several times a week. It is all by appointment. I do it by video. I do it by phone. I could do it on Zoom audio. Keep in mind that you get booked at a minimum 48 to 72 hours in advance. Same day requests are rare. It would be most likely for an existing client. And I do not take on all random topics. I only work with the topics that spirit will let me. So if you are curious, send a note to sashatalks.com and you will be led to learn how I work. And I also do intuitive business consulting if needed. A fun initiative that started out a few years ago has exponentially grown. And this is great for anyone who is out there, a writer, an author, whether you're a new talent, you're an intermediate talent, or you are a seasoned writer. Some people are seeking outlets where they could share their message. Keep in mind, there's a difference between writing to educate or just self-promote. What they look for on Style My Soul, I'm an ambassador there, is seeking content where subject matter experts could educate a global community. Some of the topics there that get celebrated, and when you click on stylemysoul.com, click on the archives, some of the topics are lifestyle, living, business, health and wellness, entrepreneurship. There are many people out there who work for themselves now. Some of them have graduated to become entrepreneurs. Other people happen to be freelancers. C-level executive in a global organization. There are articles that are written by high caliber talent out there, where they talk about business, starting businesses, do's and don'ts, different niche topics within business ownership and entrepreneurship. Then there's self-development, whether it has to do with developing your mind, your soul, how to take care of yourself, health and wellness. A lot of the people who shared their content, they shared niche topics. And by that, I mean they're not writing for every audience member out there, but they're trying to narrow down their expertise. So anybody who is in need, they're welcome to reach out to that prospective writer. I care that you make progress because there's a difference between movement and progress. Progress is going to be more sustaining in your path. Food and nutrition, you have hobbies, introduce people to different parts of the world. We have writers that come from everywhere. And because I've split a lot of time in the recent years between North America and Australia and the fun parts of Europe, we have writers from Canada, United States, Mexico, parts of Africa, the Middle East, Singapore, Japan, Ireland, United Kingdom, cannot leave out Australia. Australia has always been in competition with US on the Sasha Talks platform, and they perform exceptionally well. And it's really humbling that I've been there to visit the people that I started out with, going back at least about 9 years. So the fact that I've gotten to see them in person and celebrate Friendsgiving with them and get mini tours of their localities. So if you are interested and you are into reading and being a book nerd, you could check out Authors by Sasha, or you could go to Style My Soul if you love to write. And keep in mind, your work will be out there. Let's go back to what I was talking about. The theme of the coming few months will be celebrated on different parts of Sasha Talks. It has to do with moving forward, onward, and upward. And for those reasons, I thought it would be better to kind of shine light on resilience to change. How do people adapt to change? change. But before I get into that, what is resilience? And the formal definition of it would be resilience is the ability to be happy, the ability to be happy, to be successful after something difficult or unfortunate has happened. It is the ability to bounce back. Some people could bounce back like nothing happened to them, not because they're in denial, but they might have more mileage, life mileage, where they have learned to manage their emotional response, their emotional baggage, their mental baggage, the physical baggage. You cannot deny that when something happens in your life, whether it's an emergency or it comes out of left field, catching you off guard, it may impact your mental health. And often our mental health and our emotional health does impact our physical health. Some people become more detached from their self-care. They might start eating unhealthy. They might start taking on unhealthy habits, which they know they are unhealthy, but their coping mechanism allows them to do that because they're figuring out how to get through those challenging times. And some people might discover or develop a behavior that they take on that becomes a habit. A habit is a behavior that you keep on engaging in over and over again. Now, the thing about habits is, even though it takes time to build, it also takes time to deconstruct that habit and remove it from your lifestyle. The good news is that you could change your habit for the better. And when a challenge comes into your life, I often talk about there are good challenges. Good challenges help us grow, become better, help us discover new virtues within us, could help us become better survivors in life. And then there are the bad challenges. The bad challenges are what I call problems. It's good to have good challenges because it means that your life is progressing, things are growing for the better, and you have possibly more choices to work with. When you have problems, problems are one of those scenarios where they possibly could be prevented, or just because they happen, that's fine. It's not about shaming or hating the circumstance or the people that are part of the problem. It has to do with how to focus on finding a solution to that problem and then learning how to prevent it in the future. So resilience has to do with the ability to be happy, to be successful, and how well you could bounce back, recover after something difficult has happened. That difficult thing could be divorce for one person, a job loss, or getting fired from a job. Or let's say you have a natural disaster and you lost your home. I mean, in some various different variations, it doesn't always have to be something unfortunate, but when it does happen, and these are only examples, keep that in mind. One size does not fit all. For the sake of simplicity, these are the examples. When you look back at these events, it might be a blessing in disguise. Of course, when you lose something, or let's say metaphorically, you lose someone, but you did not literally lose them, the universe is creating a vacuum in your life. And in order for new things to come in, even though, of course, when you're going through it, there's nothing to be amused about, you have to clear out the energy. Sometimes you have to clear out the energy in the physical. Other times you have to clear out the energy in the mental. People get in their own way, mentally and emotionally. No one is stopping you in life. There are no energetic blocks around people. Sometimes I work with cases where there are no energetic blocks. The only person that is blocking the progress in their life is the person, the client themselves, because they're holding on to certain belief systems that no longer help them cope with new challenges. And possibly that either they've stopped growing or they're afraid to move forward. And they need to work through those type of energetic blocks within them, not around them. The other definition of resilience has to do with the ability to bounce back, which I talked about, from adversity and acquiring a form of flexibility and strength. Now, flexibility and strength people talk about in the physical form of how flexible your body could be, but we're also talking about in terms of your emotional resilience and how mentally flexible you are. Because there were so many people that start out when they seek me out with their case. Their case may be just a question, or it might be a challenge that they're going through. And it has to do with how flexible are they to becoming open to receiving a solution. There are tons where people just want the answer, but they have no desire to be mentally and emotionally open. And when I talk about the heart, oftentimes people think about love and lust and sex, but I'm talking about the heart in terms of your heart as a human being, your soul, your essence. If your heart is closed up, it's not going to be open to listening to life around it. Because if you only work through your mind can fool you into taking on things that are not good for you. And your mind could also fool you to passing up things that are blessings. Because remember, the body operates from a place of protecting you, and it will always fall back on what it knows that has worked in the past, even if it is something very unhealthy, very bad. There's a reason why toxicity exists. There's a reason why the saying misery loves company exists. You don't want to be part of the misery, and don't become misery yourself. Now, the resilience part, we talk about bouncing back of what it truly is. Now, the change means that you're replacing something with something else, especially something of the same kind that is newer or better, or sometimes it might be just changing things up as a substitute. Now, there are four types of resilience out there. The physical resilience of how well your physical form bounces back, granted that you are blessed with a body. If you engage in certain types of activities, whether you do sports or not, for example, there's a recovery time. Or let's say you engage in a profession where you're building homes and you're outdoors all day. There's a certain type of resilience that you have that, let's say, somebody like me may not have, even though I do sports and work out, but in a different context. I could go up to 125 miles in a week, given my bandwidth on a good week. Another person might be able to do 5 miles, but then they could be out there in the sun every day, and I cannot align with that because I don't have the resilience to be in that type of condition. So context matters. Resilience to one person might be different to another. What is your mental resilience? Some people could weather through a storm with no problem and they don't flinch. It might be their life experience. It might be the people that they grew up around. It might be because of the company they keep that they have been conditioned a bit differently than the common population. Not because they're any more blessed or special, but they may be more intentful of the type of people that they keep around them, how they live, how they work, how they engage with life. And that feeds into their resilience. And they're better able to brush off some things that could literally serve as a tornado in another individual's life. Next would be the emotional resilience. Some people could bounce back and they know not to take things personally. And then there are other people who will take anything and everything as a personal offense. And it could be for a multitude of reasons. Some people don't have enough life experience. Other people might have the mileage, but they choose not to learn. And then there are people who are very dramatic and they have to make a mountain out of molehill for everything because that's the only form of attention they could attract. Therefore, they might be emotionally stunted. And the only person who could improve in that situation is the person who is lacking the emotional resilience. And when it comes to change, I often say the person who needs to make the change has to be a willing participant. They have to have the desire. I just contributed to an opportunity out there where I talk about how to develop a mindset where you are confident and you have the tools to move forward. And one of the things has to do with change. If you're going to make a change, why do you want to make the change? Are you doing it for yourself? What is the incentive? Are you doing it for someone else? And before you make the change, have you thought about the bigger question? Why? Because change could be for the better, change could be for the worse. But a lot of people are emotionally hesitant to deep dive headfirst into changes when it's not decided upon by them. It's decided upon by life circumstances, by their environment. It could be a change in the workplace. Your boss makes a decision, you don't like it, but you got to figure it out how you're going to navigate through it. Let's say there's a change where you're in a relationship and your spouse wants a divorce. You got to work through that circumstance. It doesn't mean the change will happen, but it might happen. Not all changes are bad, but sometimes how they get packaged, how they come into your life, it might not be the right timing. And the thing is that there's never a good timing when there's supposed to be a change. For most people, 8 out of 10 times, the timing is not ever ideal because if it didn't happen, you probably wouldn't have moved in the direction to find alternative ways of living, whether it's for work, relationships, your financial health, it could be your emotional health, maybe changing social circles, whatever it is, make sure that you are part of the change. Because often when people seek me out and I'm responsible for managing now and then a team, I have a rule. If you come to me with a complaint about anything, you better have two solutions at a minimum to deliver in response to that complaint, because I'm not going to be a sounding board just for the sake of it. And I find it fascinating. When I came up with that rule years ago, the number of people who would seek me out just to vent went down exponentially, like down to 98, 99%. I know we're humans and you might have a day where you just want to be heard. That's fine. But if you're complaining about problems, then either you are part of the problem or you're part of the solution. It's one or the other. You can't be sitting on the fence for too long. The lines of neutrality do not exist for too long in reality. In an ideal world, you could be neutral about everything, but that's not how successful people move forward. You have to stand for something sooner or later. You don't have to let the whole world know what you stand for, but you need to know who you are and what you stand for. You can't stand for everything, because if you stand for everything, then you technically stand for nothing. And not everybody could be the exception to the rule, because if you're the exception to the rule, it defeats the whole point of having a standard out there. So a few seeds that are planted out there that are food for thought on your time. Now, being resilient to change means the ability to adapt and adjust easily to new situations, challenges, unexpected events. An example would be that I often reference in some of my engagements when I'm interviewed is I talk about growing up. While growing up as a kid, I moved around a lot. Of course, I'm a kid, I don't get to make those decisions, but just because of my family's circumstances, I was a very nomadic child. Every year of grade school would be in a different town or a different state, or it could be even a country, and I just rolled with it. Now, the thing is that most children, when you're young, you're resilient. Most of the coordination of logistics is taken care of by the adults or those that are your caretakers and your teachers. That type of changes that I dealt with helped me transition to adulthood and deal with being in different environments, different types of people. I've been in a literal diverse melting pot from the time I was a kid and I was old enough to understand that there were people in every direction you look, they all look different. And I never intellectualized it. I just subconsciously knew and understood that, hey, this is my normal. Now, that might be a whole different experience for somebody who may have not left their town for 30 years. And believe it or not, I have met two, three people over the course of my lifetime where one person had not ever been on an airplane. And I was just fascinated because this wonderful woman approached me at a major international airport one year during one of my travels, and she asked me what it's like to board an airplane. And we got into a conversation. She told me it was her very first airplane ride that she was taking in her 50s. And I was just intrigued by her curiosity because I had lived a life, especially early on, even though I was not crazy about flying as a kid, I had to get on the airplane to get from point A to point B. And of course, the adults were by my side. I just knew that I wasn't too crazy about airplanes once upon a time, but if I wanted to actualize the life I live, to travel and work the way I enjoy working and meeting people, I will have to learn how to enjoy an airplane ride. And here I'm talking to a person who has not ever been on an airplane. So keep in mind, context matters. That is a change for somebody who's so accustomed to traveling in cars and buses. Now they're up in the air and they're looking out the window and all they see is clouds. That could be exciting. Now, the thing about resilience to changes, I know for human beings, one of the responses could be fear. And fear is often coined as false expectations appearing real. But when you're going through it, I know it's not fun and games, and you're thinking about all the possibilities of things that may possibly not pan out, which is why you have to. It might be in your best interest to consider having a healthier mindset that overrides the fear in your belief system. Believing in yourself, believing what you want, and believing that what you want, granted it is of good nature and good-hearted, exists. Not meaning well for others, but meaning well for yourself is not exactly going to take you far in life. And I get to physically see people who have developed that type of mantra to get through life, and it has not served them well. Sooner or later, you will come across hurdles that you will not cross. You will find dead ends that are not going to open new ways. So, being resilient or taking on resilience can be a virtue that could help you level up in your path. And keep in mind, when I talk to people, they don't have to have a profession. They don't have to come from the business world. They don't have to be spiritual. You don't even have to be anything. You're a human being. And one of the lines that Sasha talks when it came out to this day is keep an open mind and heart to feel the difference. But when you keep an open mind and heart, you also have to apply discernment, apply judgment to see what resonates with you and what doesn't. Just don't become an open parachute with the heart and the mind that you will take on anything out there that comes your way, whether it comes from me, whether it comes from another human being or anybody. Information is created by the people for the people, and apply discernment. Now, resilience has to do with being adaptable, flexible, and discovering your strength in the face of change. And one of the ways is being adaptability has to do with how well you adjust to new behaviors, possibly new beliefs, new routines. You don't have to believe what the environment dictates, but there is a certain level of coexistence to agree to disagree, but also respect to coexist. And just because you respect to coexist doesn't mean that you agree with it and that you accept it. Flexibility. Are you mentally flexible and open to the idea of coming up with solutions? Solutions that may be outside of your comfort zone, solutions that may be other than what you thought or you anticipated. And when I talk about the comfort zone, I'm not saying go against who you are in terms of your beliefs, your values, but out of your comfort zone, meaning if you've done something the same way for the last 40 years and you reach a point where the old ways are not going to open new doors, it might be time to consider looking into new ways of doing things. And I know it is not easy. Humans are creatures of habit, but there are times where breaking through that mold could introduce you to a new wave of freedom, whether it's emotional freedom, mental freedom. There are times where people become prisoners of their own mind, of their own thinking, of their own feeling. And everything that you keep on saying, especially that is challenging or challenges are not bad, but let's say negative or unfortunate, you keep on reaffirming it. It's like a stamp of approval every time you say that you're having a bad day. So instead of reaffirming it, okay, acknowledge that you have a bad day, but what are you going to do about it? You have the choice. You have the gift of free will. You can move on and look at the positive of what you still have in your day, or you could just become doom and gloom. And when you keep on doing that, one day after another, you're developing not only a behavior, a pattern, and soon it will become a habit. It's something for you to think about. Your mental strength. Do you maintain a positive outlook? How do you go about problem solving? Do you develop your problem-solving skills, or do you just run to somebody who will take care of it? Because what will happen one day when those people who typically help you out are not there in your life? There are some people who only resort to money and they think that money will take care of it. Like, I'll pay it off, it will take care of my problems. But you know what? Even people who do that run into challenges sooner or later because not every challenge or change could be addressed by money. Remember, money is a tool. I've given a few talks on it, and we're going to talk about it in the forward, onward, and upward theme down the road. Here's one big one: emotional regulation. There are so many people that I have crossed paths with who lack the emotional regulation, and it's usually within the common crowd. When I work with more of the seasoned strata, there are people who lack emotional regulation, but there are also those that have found ways to master it, not to perfection, because I don't sell perfection and I am not perfect, but they have mastered it to the degree that has helped them become that high performing individual. And they are able to manage the blessings that come into their life. They're able to manage the challenges that come into their life. They're not living a perfect life, but they are doing exceptionally well because they have figured out who they are, how they take care of themselves. And there's a high level of resilience within them that helps with them, excuse me, with the emotional regulation. There are some people who just fly off the handle. They don't even think before they open their mouth. They don't even think before they act. There are times where there are people, due to lack of emotional regulation, they have destroyed their relationships. They have destroyed their associations. They have killed their careers because there are just some things that can be said and done that cannot ever be taken back. Let me put it this way. When you lack emotional regulation, whatever's going to come out of your mouth, it's going to be like toothpaste coming out of a tube. You can't put that paste back in that tube. It's out there. You can wash it out, but there are going to be people who will remember that mess. So if there's anything that you need to focus on, my friendly recommendation would be to reflect upon whether you have any emotional regulation. Develop emotional maturity. It doesn't necessarily come from reading a book and then you're an expert on it, because that has no meaning. You have to go out, live life, and apply what you learn. It doesn't mean you have to have the worst of the worst experiences to become more seasoned at life. But when you go out, are you being intentful? Are you being mindful about the choices that you make? Are you being intentful about how you think? Yes, you control how you think. The mind doesn't tell you how you should think. You're feeding the mind. You're feeding the heart. You're feeding the body. You're feeding the body literally. Pay attention to what you put in your body. Pay attention to what you listen to, the words, how people speak to one another. Are you speaking like them? Because you take on that energy. Pay attention to what you listen to. Are you listening to educational content? Or are you listening to random words that take life away from your life? Are you breathing life in messages that are life-giving, or are those messages that are, I guess, life-killing, where it just subtracts from your life? It doesn't add into your life. It doesn't pour into your life. And one other element, for the sake of time, would be your social support. Resilient individuals often have strong social connections and a network of people they rely on. There are going to be some seasons of life where you may not have that social support, and maybe the universe, your creator, the higher source is isolating you in order for you to develop your skills and grow. There are certain types of growth where we are interdependent heavily in society. We were made to be interdependent. But at the same time, there are seasons of life where you are more self-sufficient, where you are reflecting within to learn who you are and take it from there. And you can still learn who you are when you're around people, but there are different seasons of life that could range from isolation to a lot of engagement out there. So, how do you build the resilience to change? Get connected if you can. Sometimes that connection might not be in this man-made world with become I'm not saying become more busy. Busy does not mean you're productive. So when people ask me, how was your day? I go, I was productive because I produced things. There were deliverables, there were changes made, there was progress. I don't go, I was busy or I'm busy. When people go, they're busy, that doesn't make me think that they're working or working hard or working better. That just tells me that they have built up a certain period of time to not be available for anything else. That doesn't tell me that they're being productive, because there's a lot of people who look busy who produce nothing. There are a lot of people who say they're busy, but they are using the busy as a distraction from life itself. And if you really pay attention, those that are productive, they don't need all that time to be quote unquote busy because they're not busy. They're producing and then they're moving on to their next commitment. Have a goal day to day. I had to think about that one because make each day meaningful. Make sure it has meaning for you or you're contributing to somebody else's meaning in life by putting on a smile on their face, offering e ears because somebody needs to be heard. I'm not saying become a martyr while abandoning yourself, but find a way to cultivate an environment where you want to engage. Remember, it is your body, your mind, your soul, your space. And it doesn't matter if you are among yourself or among a group of people or a larger environment. It doesn't matter if it's in your personal life, your social life, or let's say work. Regardless of other people, make sure that you have your goals. Do not abandon yourself. The moment you abandon yourself, then you are starting to just go along with the flow. And it's not with the flow of life, it is the flow of what other people want you to do. And that's nothing wrong with it. There are virtues of being of service. But when I say don't abandon yourself, don't abandon your values, don't abandon what matters to you, what makes you happy, and don't abandon your self-care. And when I talk about self-care, I'm not talking about it through the superficial lens, I'm talking about the overall. When you take care of yourself, you're able to take better care of others around you, not because it is expected of you, but you're a better Samaritan in the community. And all change begins from within us, not from outside us. It always goes from inside and out. And finally, actions. You could have good intent, you could have belief. Belief is very important, but it also gets paired up with action. There are many people who just sit there and they focus on a certain thought, and which is great, but they don't pair it up with any action. They're not putting in the effort to move towards their goal. They just look at it as if I just think about it all day, it will happen out of the blue. On the other hand, there are people who blindly just take care of the action like a math formula. There's a checklist. I've done all of these things and I haven't reached my goal. Why? Because one, you have not been intentful. You're going on it. You're going about like a hamster on a wheel, going through the motions, but your brain and your heart are absent. They're not showing up every day. So make sure you pair up your mind, your heart, and the action. And good things do take time to build. So hopefully you're not looking for an overnight result because things that come fast, they could leave your path fast. And I know that the Sasha Talks audience can be very intentful. They have good goals to materialize. And there are many different ways of going about how you live your life. And that is the beauty about free will, that I want people to be mindful. There are good things out there waiting for them to happen. And I want you to be a part of it. It doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sidelines and watch other people do it because it's for them. If you desire it and you're part of it, then it's only a matter of time that you will see the result. But you have to make that choice. I cannot make that choice. Those that love you, those that care for you cannot make that choice. You have to bring yourself out there. And while I had anticipated to cover a few more things, for the sake of simplicity, I wanted to treat this as a hello, a welcome back to the audience, and let you know how you could find me. You could go to sashatalks.com. And there's plenty of content that will keep you busy. And I take a lot of pride in thanking those that have welcomed me and those that are willing to engage me moving forward. I want to thank the audience for those who jump in and out of the segments over the duration of the years. There will be new content coming out. And if you're looking for any form of engagement or conversation, or any topics that you would like to suggest, I'm open to considering it. Go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, and make it known. So until next time, as I like to say, be good, be safe, and be blessed. Thank you.